Coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
That you stand with mutants. Unless you don't now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she said.
Right now, my hands are tied.
Okay.
Well, if your hands are tied, you won't be needing this.
Not only does she...
she upchucked and just...
That's so funny.
He didn't even see where it went.
And he didn't even try. He said,
you didn't even see it go in the snow in a mountain nowhere. You're like, where did this shield just go?
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
That's a great cosplay.
The dead man's flying.
Oh, the dead man's body.
That robe body just fell. The bad part is Wolverine just fell, okay?
Yeah. Like, I guess I'm on my own. Oh, nice tuck and roll. How did he? Okay.
Well, he stopped, I think.
She chucks half a building.
Thank God she didn't miss.
The fishes go, ooh.
Yeah. There's a janitor in the top floor. He's like, what's going on?
Yo,
Quicksilver.
I was like, where did Pietro come from?
Ooh. Oh, more.
Get your dumb ass.
Get your dumb ass out of here. That corpse is really throwing them around, dude.
Welcome back to the uber secret break room, hiding behind a vending machine. It's the after show. This time for X-Men 97, episode 7, Bright Eyes. Hit that graphic.
Oh. I'm trying to guess all the shows. I'm not a...
Oh, watch it. I got like five. I got most of them.
I got Loki. I got Loki.
Game of Thrones, Stranger Things.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, I missed the Stranger Things.
Yeah, it was the very first one.
My attention span.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's fair.
A goldfish.
Folks, what is Bastion's master plan? And what does Mr. Sinister have to do with it? We'll get into that and more. I'm Brandon Barrick, and joining me today, you'll often find her enjoying a diet pingo doce. It's Jessica Clemons.
We're never out of diet. But I'm never on a diet.
Hey, yo! And every gambler has a tell, and modesty is his. It's Jay Washington.
The future's in the cards, mon ami. And he's really dead.
Oh, yeah.
Really dead. Also, Kurt gave one hell of a eulogy. You like, hey, bro.
That was so good. And I was like, wait, did he say it off the top of his dome? It made me like Nightcrawler.
He was crying during it.
It was with his little three fingers.
His
he was
little
like,
three fingers. Crying.
I
even
love
the thieves were moved to tears.
The guild of thieves. The guild of thieves.
We'll also get into the Captain America / Hulk references, all of it. But first, Jay, kick us off with a recap.
I shall kick us off with a recap in probably 500 words or more.
Heck yeah.
As always. Look, the threat of war between humans and mutants looms over this entire episode because we open by being extremely sad at Gambit.
The show's always sad.
He's dead. He's dead. Like, yeah, we're official. Like, you saw a casket, everything. And, like, the guillotines was there. It was Bobby and it was Belle, and I forgot the other one.
We think it's Aurora, who's from Alpha Flight. The woman with the white hair.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out because I was like, that's not Rogue.
No, it's not Rogue, and it's, you know, it's not one of the Morlocks. We're pretty sure it's like Aurora. People are saying that online too.
It's probably
so. It's like Aurora from Alpha Flight. I don't know why she's there. I don't remember her in
Remy. Remy might have had a little tryst with her.
Maybe.
Look, Jubilee is angry and pissed because Rogue is not at the funeral. She's missing. And in lieu of celebrating Remy's life and his home going, she didn't win and said, you know what? The hell with it. I'm taking up on finding Henry Guy myself so she can track down Bolivar Trask. And it's just way too many dudes working on Master Mold, which, by the way, let me tell you something. Rogue went and told the military, y'all kiss my ass, okay? She went.
They were not ready.
They was like, yo, we can handle it. Oh! She started flipping tanks. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? They reminded you of exactly how strong Rogue is.
Mm-hmm.
And after a run in with Thunderbolt Ross, who she grabbed by the throat, was like, hey, bro, look, I'm not going to play with today, fam. She's like, hey, my man that died, I'm horny. I don't know what my other dude is. Where's this dude? She tracks down Captain America, who's also pursuing Gyrick, and a group with the initials OZT, which is not for Ozempic for a lot of y'all who probably is thinking it. What are mutants doing Ozempic and having Tweety Bird?
That's why they look so good, even though it's been 30 years.
Whoa, Ozempic!
OZT, Ozempic Troop.
Oh, okay.
See? But we'll tell you about what it means for those. Should we tell it now? Or is it in the script?
We'll get into it.
But when asked by Rogue to help him, he says he has to do stuff by the books. You pansy.
Because that's he's a cop.
He's America's top cop.
He's a cop.
And this message is also repeated by President Kelly, the Cyclops, who is, yo, shouts out to Cyclops. He ain't with the shits no more. He's like, hey, y'all gonna help me or not? And then he asks, why aren't they contributing more aid to Genosha? By the way, Rogue is hella bogus because she tossed Cap Steel into a mountain. She was like, hey, bro, you ain't going to need this.
They kind of leg her out of space for a second where you could just feel like he's like, I got to find it.
Gotta find it like they found me.
Like, how do you get, what type of metal detector? Hey, man, y'all got a vibranium metal detector I can use because it's somewhere in a mountain. How did he get in the mountain?
He's gonna call a vision or something.
And be can like, somebody go can fly through
this?
A mountain?
Can someone find this?
It's somewhere in there. She just threw it. Now, the X-Men go to Genosha themselves, and after the reporter from the Remember It episode says some pretty dumb stuff to Beast, get your sympathies together.
Trish Tilly?
Trish Tilly. Even though
some reporter?
You know, remember, that's what
Trish Tilly, she's got a name, Evan.
Let me tell you something. Our loving producer, writes this script that we all recite from, just wrote some chick. Some white woman that ain't sympathetic to mutants. But she says the dumbest stuff to Beast, and she's very, you know, inconsiderate of what's going on. And Cyclops and Jean, who have in a moment thinking they're finding Madeline Pryor, actually finds Emma Frost, who survived by having turning herself into Diamond, which is a secondary mutation. Beautiful. Which, if you know the comics, a lot of different mutants have those. And of course, the original mutations are triggered by stress. And having a genocide happen on you is stressful enough, so you turn into Diamond.
Yeah.
So you turn into Diamond. That sounds like a stripper name.
I mean, she had a great one-liner, too. I mean, she was probably sitting there for a while. She's like, when they find me, I'm going to be Diamond. I'm going to say, like, you know, I'm pretty good under pressure.
What if she was running a bunch of names through her head, and they opened, they went, Diamond? Oh, shit.
She's like, well, I always was a girl's best friend. No,
she was like, be shiny, not Cupid Zirconia. Because what if she was Cupid Zirconia? That would be.
No, like, I could pronounce it.
Oh, Emma, you've turned into Quartz.
Oh, my God, you turned into QVC. Oh, no.
Love that for her. Okay, my turn. Jubilee even convinces Roberto to tell his mom that he's a mutant, which goes over pretty well until she says she wants him to hide the fact to not upset the stockholders, which...
I mean, she's got a
point. That was my first thought. I was like, because I was like, even with Cyclops' person, I was like, yeah, of course these humans are only going to care about their money. Right.
But she was like, hey, bro, look, we had four houses burned down. You really think we didn't notice was you?
I thought about that, too. I was like, don't a lot of these people get their mutate? Like, it comes to them when they're, like, distressed. Like, a teenager. And I was like, he thinks as a baby he didn't accidentally burn his toys
or
something?
Well, no, it only happens during puberty.
Okay, yeah. So I was puberty could hit it.
Sometimes mutants manifest a little early.
Yeah, this is true.
They didn't notice the sixth time you set something on fire?
You know, Somali pirates take the yacht. Like, that was the wildest. Shouts out to my homegirl, Charlie Felby, who wrote this episode.
Oh my gosh, she knew what she was talking about. Morph receives a message from Trask, who tells them to come to the UN Peace Legion in Madripoor so he can show them what's really going on. But before they do that, they pick up Rogue, who was unable to siphon any knowledge off Henry Gyrick in Mexico City, besides a few flashes of Nimrod, which I just learned today was a mean name, but not actually a mean name. It was a biblical name.
Yes, it is.
It was a biblical name.
It was from these two boys.
He used to be a
mighty warrior.
Not associated with like an idiot.
Yeah, but you can thank Bugs Bunny for that one.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny made Nimrod.
Bugs Bunny hates Jesus Christ?
Well, yeah,
if I remember my biblical history correctly, and I might not, I think Nimrod was Old Testament.
BBVJC.
Well, I thought you were going to say a BBL. Like, what is a BBL in the Bible?
Mary!
Why do you think Mary Magdalene got to hang out with Jesus so much?
Oh, stop it. She didn't have a big ass. At the UN, the X-Men stumble upon what seems to be a room full of future tech and guards with OZT logo. Morph properly disses Trask as the poor man's Oppenheimer.
Yo!
Just, and then he cops a line.
Yeah, then he takes the line. Then he says the line.
Do you think he heard him? Or do you think he was already
I think he was already ready to say it because he is a poor man's Oppenheimer. And Trask explains that the OZT formed from the remains of the Sentinel program.
Yeah, yeah. And he thinks it's pretty bad, which it must be very bad.
When he was like, listen, yo, these are people doing things on their own.
In one of the coldest moments I've ever seen in an X-Men animated series.
Hey, bro.
Now, granted, Gyrick, Trask tried to jump off the building. Rogue caught him.
Which is the coldest.
Which was pretty cool to be like, hey, we have some questions. And then he's like, I got nothing for you. And she's like, well, okay. She drops him off the building in anger. And I love that the other X-Men are like, and Wolverine's like, man,
Wolverine,
I'm kind of cool with this.
He said we was all thinking it like, yo, drop him off the building.
Wolverine's like, I've been waiting for this.
He said, I have nothing. And she said, same here.
And Morph says, like, is this who we are now?
Yeah. Hell, yeah. When Morph said that, I was like, come on, Morph.
Morph, hey, say less, bro. Morph.
If it was Wolverine, you'd do the same thing.
Though they did say thousands. She said, this is the first time we got a number for Genosha. Because she says thousands died.
Yeah, because they don't have, it's not as populated. Yeah, it's not as populated as it is in the comics.
Still heavy. But it turns out, Trask isn't dead. Well, maybe Trask is dead, but his body is being used because he flies back up as a Sentinel human hybrid, saying that, quote, the Prime Sentinel protocol has been activated. Mm. So his dead body becomes a Sentinel, basically. We'll get into how that might have worked. Sentinel Gyrick wreaks havoc on the X-Men, neutralizing the majority of them, including Morph, who turned into Quicksilver for a quick second, no pun intended. And then Cable appears and saves the day with an electromagnetic cluster grenade. You think they would have thought of that, being robots, huh? You think they would have thought of the old classic electromagnetic grenade, but what are you going to do? Technically, that grenade came from the future, so they weren't ready for it yet. Jean and Cyclops realized
that... You sound like, sorry, Back to the Future, Marty McFly. They're not ready for this yet.
Your kids aren't ready for that one yet.
You don't like that EMP grenade? Your kids are going to love it.
Your kids are going to love it.
Because they're going to live in a dystopian hellscape. Jean and Cyclops realized that Cable is actually Nathan. But Cable knows that this isn't his mom, and he doesn't want to talk to his dad who abandoned him after saying he wouldn't abandon him. He tells the group that Sinister is working for someone else.
Within less than 5 seconds, I will not abandon my son. All right, I'm gonna holler at y'all.
Right, I can't be here for this.
I'm gonna
go ahead and holler at
y'all. I think my dad said the exact same thing. He said, don't take her away. All right, I'll look away.
My
dad said the same thing, then he died.
Damn. What happened to your dad? Oh, he's still living and great.
Yeah. He's working on a farm right now. He's doing fine. So Cable says that Sinister is working for someone else, and we discover that someone else is Bastion. We saw him earlier in the episode kill Gyrick, and now he meets with Mr. Sinister, saying that he has valuable data for his, quote, real masterpiece. He and Sinister see that Xavier is still alive and about to get married on the Shi'ar homeworld, but of course we know that didn't come out. And this kind of reveals that the X-Men have lied to the world about Professor Charles Xavier dying and Gyrick having killed him. But Bastion has a lie of his own that he's been keeping from everyone. And we also see that he's got Magneto, depowered with a little collar on and alive. And he's giving him a creepy little shave to his favorite song, One-Eyed Purple People Eater.
Yep.
Very, very creepy, very Reservoir Dogs-esque. And that's how we end the episode, okay? Before we get into who Bastion is and what he might be planning, any favorite moments from this episode you want to talk about before we get into our big questions?
I think my favorite moment was the moment that of Rogue dropping him.
Cold as ice.
It was, other than the clear, like, the reveal of Captain America in that suit and then her throwing, being able to, like, what you said to what Jay said of how strong she is. Mm-hmm. She was going through, he was like, we protected this from the Hulk. And then she comes through and she's like, what the fuck? Where are these two people that you guys are harboring?
So, Rogue.
It has to be Rogue. Look, the combination of Rogue wrecking shop on the soldiers, snatching Ross up, and then having Gyrick, like, basically, I know it's set in the 90s. She hit him with the Rip Ross, God forgives, I don't. And just dropped him. Because, like, the look, the animation, the look in her eyes after she dropped him was like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care. And so, like, you see how, you forget, even though they're mutants, right? They're mutants by mutation. You know the expression, we're only human, and only you can be pushed so far. And also, when a woman's fed up. Because that one is pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell has no fury like a woman.
And then Nightcrawler even says, he even makes her admit it, you're not just upset about the loss of Remy.
Yeah, I like when he says, when Nightcrawler says that, he's like, she didn't lose one man, she lost two.
She lost two.
And he's also saying, like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
Like, you're all right there. My favorite moment, you know, they're finally doing some justice to Jean Grey. I mean, having her use her telekinetic powers to throw half of a building into the ocean. And, like, This is a character who famously in the original series fainted all the time. It was like, it's too heavy, I can't lift it. Now granted, she has fainted a couple times already in this series.
Madeline Pryor has fainted.
No, Madeline Pryor didn't faint.
No, Jean did faint. Jean, when she showed up at the house. Yeah, you're right.
Jean kept going.
And in this episode, she kind of faints too. She's like, I feel something. And then she gets a thrill building. I love that they're giving her like some actual power.
That's
which
funny.
Is, like, very
she
nice.
Does faint a lot.
You know what
she
I'm waiting on? I need my Charles Xavier. The Charles Xavier scream.
He screams when it's like too much.
There's a video on YouTube. It's like 15, 20 minutes of nothing but Xavier screaming from the whole series.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that at all.
Right, right. Before we get into the rest of the video, we want to thank some of our sponsors for today, like Mando. Mando makes whole body deodorant that's effective and long lasting. It doesn't cover up odor after the fact with heavy fragrances like other deodorants. Instead, it stops at the source by blocking the bacteria on your skin from eating your sweat, which is what actually causes the body odor. What does this mean? It means that Mando is clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. That's a long time. If you know Zach, he's always talking about how he loves Mando and how it really works, especially when he has long days that go from the office to doing a break room episode to doing live shows in the evening. And that whole time he's running around town, he doesn't have to worry about smelling because he's got Mando on. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code BREAKROOM. That's over 40% off your starter pack. Use code BREAKROOM for $5 off at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. And of course, we also want to remind you to check out nerdriot.shop. We've got a ton of X-Men-inspired designs right now, like our Gambit shirt, remember it, which I'm wearing right now. It also comes in like a crop top. We've got this great Storm shirt. Isn't that beautiful?
Heed my command! Does it sound like the shirt saying?
Yeah, it does say.
Hold on, wait.
Heed my command!
Oh my God, the shirt talks! This is the only talking one.
Yeah, it's only my voice because I'm the only black woman here. So I had to do the voice.
I ain't doing it. I'm letting you know where I am.
You can do it a little bit.
We also have a new Deadpool shirt in honor of the second Deadpool trailer that we were graced with this week. There, you can see it there. Jumping through the portal.
So cute.
Where are they going? They're going right out of your chest. You can also get the Let's Fucking Go shirt. And if your parents are watching, they can't see the fucking.
In more ways than one.
It's okay. So it's okay. We also have some break room merch live on the site now. You've seen us wearing on the show. Look at this beautiful little hat. Oh my gosh, how fashionable.
Evan has on a hoodie.
Evan's got the hoodie on. You can grab some of this merch for yourself. Check it all out over at nerdriot.shop. And grabbing merch is the best way to support the channel. And there's tons of great designs on there from all sorts of fandoms. Check it out, nerdriot.shop. Okay, we've got questions about this episode. So let's get to our main topic today. What's Bastion's deal? What's this guy's deal?
Who the hell is he?
Yeah, what's his master plan? What's going on
when
here?
When he showed up, I was like, oh my God, it was... Was that the roof?
No, yeah. It looks like we superimposed a shirt onto you.
It feels like a blanket. I feel comfortable.
It looks like you didn't put the shirt on in post.
You look like one of those paper dolls.
Let me hide the shoulder a little bit more.
Put it on in post.
But no, I do. I have a question. I move my neck a lot, so it looks like it.
Okay.
I have a question. Who the hell is this guy? And the reason I when it was revealed to be Mr. Sinister, I was like, oh shit, I was wrong, but I know who Mr. Sinister is. Mm-hmm. When this guy showed up, I went, okay.
I like the fact that this Sinister is way more vile than what we've ever seen.
Sure.
Like we saw he does experimentations in the old
series. We saw him cut up people in the Victorian era.
We saw him put a baby in a vat of goo.
Well, that's new show.
That's new show. Right. We never saw him take this baby in this goo and all this stuff. Yeah. And then you just try to.
They were a little more careful.
But who the hell is Bastion?
So Bastion in the comics.
And also, isn't there a Sebastian? So now we got a bunch of Bastions. Well,
so there's Sebastian Shaw. So Sebastian Shaw was with the Hellfire Club, and I think he's dead.
He died.
He's part of the Masker. Bastion actually has an alias, Sebastian. It's similar to Wonder Man in a sense.
Okay.
Here's why. They both have human physiques. Mm. They look like actual people. But Sebastian Gilberti, which is Bastion's alter ego, he is a mystical, it's a magic fusion of Master Mole and Nimrod together from the future. And so he is powerful. He has chronokinesis. He can manipulate time. He can teleport. Excuse me. He's got so much, but he's also his own master mode. Okay. He also is the reason he can turn people into prime sentinels. Mm. So like he turned. So when you saw those different sentinels up there when the X-Men were looking, like, oh, what they're trying to create new sentinels.
Yeah.
The first version is Nimrod. But it's a version up from Nimrod, which he is. It gets confusing a little bit for some people, but it's all about the Sentinels becoming so self-aware, realizing that not only mutants are the problem, but humans as well.
Yeah, okay. And like a prime Sentinel is something, it's someone that like has like Sentinel parts or like technology within it, and they might not know that it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
With Bolivar Trask in this episode, like you saw that like he dies and then becomes like a prime Sentinel. And it, he had like the little lines, right? That kind of look like the organic virus.
The techno-organic virus.
And I think it's kind of a fusion of like, you use the techno-organic virus to like turn a dead person into a sentinel, essentially.
Did two questions.
Okay.
Two questions. One, is that what Cable's also made of?
Cable had the like techno-organic virus put into him, and then he was like sent to the future, obviously, to like, oh, they'll figure out how to cure this or whatever. But it's probably been used. They're using that virus to like both like combine their hatred of mutants to kill off mutants and to turn people into like sentinels that can like kill mutants. Because in the comic books, you have a situation where there's like prime sentinels. There are people that are walking around. They're like sleeper agents basically. Yeah. And when they get activated, they're like, oh, I'm gonna go kill a mutant.
That makes sense. And then the second question is, how easy is it for Bastion to just turn someone into a sentinel? Is it just
very easy,
or does he have to piece it together?
No,
no, he can just like touch you and it turns.
He has all the future tech.
Well, does he have to take you apart? Does he have to like
no,
because there's like nanotechnology,
nanotech in the virus, and that's how it is. So nanotech, you know, it's so you can't see it. Next thing you know, it's in your body and you're just changing.
But that's his power, is just being able to do that, and all the other things.
He's like strong,
he's super strong, he's super smart. He had, look, I made sure I wrote down. He got and copy and pasted from things. This is all about adaptation, technoforming, turning you into prime sentinel, command of other sentinels, energy manipulation, teleportations, chronokinesis, superhuman strength and durability, flight. Like, that is a lot he can do in this.
Yeah, he can do a lot of shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's and he's also very sarcastic.
Yeah. I don't like that part the most.
Because, like, a Nimrod, right? And they had Nimrod in the older series, too. A Nimrod, you know, a normal sentinel is like, nah, kill mutants, prime, blah, blah, blah. A Nimrod's like, I have personality.
It's kind of like Vision.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's more, more sentient than, like, just a straight up sentinel.
Better analogy. Age of Ultron, remember Remember what Ultron wanted to be that became Vision?
Yeah.
Basically like
that. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a good
analogy. So he's dangerous. And now this character like was created in the comics, I believe in like 95, 96. So around the time that the original series was on.
Okay.
He first came in and like his storylines, there was a whole comic arc called Operation Zero Tolerance.
Which is OZT.
OZT. And it is also an organization within the comics.
Yeah.
But they had a whole comic run called Operation Zero Tolerance. Was about Bastion activating these prime sentinels, kind of like taking over the Xavier Institute, all that stuff.
He takes over the Institute.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
he's a powerful dude. And it's like a big threat to the mutants in the comics.
But right now he's just shaving.
Right now he's shaving up Magneto.
Because here's what my fear is, and use the term loosely, because we know we're about to get the last three episodes of this season, right? 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a 3-part series. He could be trying to get ready to do Onslaught. Onslaught is the psychic mental bond of Magneto and Xavier.
Yeah.
And that is one of the big things, a big worry too. So like Bastion can be doing other stuff. It's a whole lot, but I love it the fact that this show right now, you don't, like I said, you don't know who the big bad guy is.
Right.
You keep seeing Apocalypse in this opening credit, the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. You're like, is Apocalypse coming? But also, what can stop Apocalypse? Bastion might know how to stop him just as much as anybody else.
Yeah, Bastion, and you know, in this episode, he kind of hinted at something else being a part of it. He says to Gyrick, you know, like, Gyrick was like, oh, it's all part of your plan, right? Yeah. He's like, yeah, but you made it happen earlier than
you
I expected.
You made it happen earlier,
blah, blah, blah. So something out, he's building to like a bigger thing. And that's, you know, that's every villain's downfall, right? Is like their panache.
They're never satisfied. Style.
Yeah, yeah, they're like building up this big, huge thing that they want to just like unleash. Mm-hmm. And they can't, because I think Bastion now could just go in and start wrecking shop.
Clearly.
Because I don't know how they could stop him as it is. But he's building to something else too. Yeah,
we saw Prime Sentinel just start flinging X-Men.
Right, right. One Prime Sentinel was taking on all of those X-Men.
That's true.
A couple of whom are like Omega level. So pretty intense. Pretty intense.
But I don't know if Jean's hit Omega level yet. Like, that's the thing about, because again, she's been in this, like,
yeah, in the show. That's a good point.
She hasn't hit her. So the only other Omegas right now that they have on the X-Men team would be just Jean.
Could Jean's Omega level be technically the Phoenix Force when she's in it?
Yeah, I was just thinking that in my head.
Because like,
do you count that?
Has.
Because like, that's not her mutant ability. That's like a cosmic entity.
That's a cosmic
entity. But it boosts, still, it boosts
it
her.
It boosts her abilities yeah. to that level.
They're like, no, it doesn't. Stop asking.
No, Omega is like a weird thing. You know, I kind of hate the like Omega.
It just sounds so cool.
Delineation.
It sounds so cool.
It is very cool. Well, because, you know, they eventually in the comics, like everything, they give it to everybody except Charles Xavier. He's never Omega, which is so funny. He's not an Omega level mutant. He has never been one. He's not the best telepath.
His son is, though.
Yeah, yeah. Because Charles isn't the best telepath. He's very strong.
Well, yeah, and that's hard when you have a power that a lot of people also have.
Right, right, right.
Like, at least, like, Storm is, like, one of a kind.
Yeah. Because Rogue is strong. Is she the best at... Is she the best?
But Rogue's got to remember, Rogue's power isn't her strength, really.
Right. But I mean, like, is she the best absorber? But I guess not even, because she has to touch, right? There are people who can absorb powers, I think, without touching.
Touch
me. Touch me.
No Mario references. Cool.
Yeah, we're not an Omarion family here.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, cool. I thought we said touch.
Sorry.
I thought
that was going to
be. Okay.
Not after that dance he did.
But yeah. I, you know, this plan that Bastion's putting together, you know, this show has followed a lot of comic storylines, but changed them in interesting ways. So it'll be interesting to see what the plan is here, because... You know, Bastion, when he came around in the comics, Xavier was there running the school and all that stuff. So, like, that's not going on right now. So, it'll be interesting to see how they
was when Bastion was running the school, was it the normal students there?
Well, it was kind of weird, you know, because Xavier wasn't there. He kind of captured Jubilee also. Mm-hmm. So,
and he took over who they were. Or they did it consensually. Like a Jubilee.
No, like, she was like straight up like.
She was a prisoner.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all, yeah. Okay.
And like his reason for taking over the school was mainly to get into Charles's files.
Okay.
He wanted Cerebro and everything.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Okay.
Got so it. Yeah, I don't know what Bastion's building towards here. You know, he's got Magneto, he's keeping him alive, he's shaving him up for business.
Do we know that if that character has any other motives in any other property that he's in?
I mean, his main motive is just to like. Destroy the mutants.
Oh, know? Okay. Because like I was like, Sinister's like, oh, never-ending research, but also I hate those mutants.
Right, right. Sinister's trying to build the perfect human.
And he wanted it to be him, actually.
Yeah.
But Bastion doesn't have like that kind of motive. He just wants to kill a bunch of mutants.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, you bring up a good point. Like, what is his motive, right? Bastion is the forming of a Nimrod and a master mold that went through the siege parallel, a whole weird thing. But Nimrod's from the future, right?
Yeah. Right.
So is Bastion trying to create a Nimrod to like kind of create himself in a way?
Be his own, to make a bunch of himself.
Yeah, to be his own grandfather. To be like, I have to create a Nimrod so that I exist.
Well, yeah, if he's making the Nimrod for the future, it would alter the timeline in which he's in right now, right?
Or like, does he have to do it so that he exists?
Well, he wants to make it. He already exists. I think he wants himself to exist.
Yeah.
More of him to exist earlier.
Sure. Yeah, if he makes the Nimrod earlier in time.
Yeah, because all he knows what made him, right?
Yeah.
He knows the magic, the seed, the, you know, the portals, all that different stuff. He can do this like, oh, this is what happens later.
Yeah.
And I can already go through time as well. If I have a bunch of Nimrods already, we can make this happen. I can create a bunch of master molds. Boom, a bunch more Bastion.
Okay. So he's like successful in the future. But Cable's here to be like, we gotta fuck that up.
Well, and maybe that's why he's here now, right? It's because him and Cable keep fighting through time. Because, like, remember when Cable showed up in episode 5, he's like, oh, I'm not early enough or whatever. And maybe that's because he had the right time, but Bastion is fucking with it. So it's like, they're like racing backwards to like try and stop each other.
I am just glad that we didn't see this whole episode of him going back trying to stop Genosha.
Right.
Remember that's what we thought we were gonna see for a minute?
Yeah, yeah.
Like him just trying to stop Genosha over and over again. But now he keeps popping up like also, Cable need to get some power where he can stay in back in time. Cause like it's like he comes and he'd be like, damn it, I got to go.
That thing is not working correctly.
Every time he show up, he'd be like, hey, my bad, I got this.
I gotta go. My cube is
I gotta go charge my battery.
I gotta go charge.
Cube told me I gotta go. I'm sorry.
Bastion seems very confusing right now. But maybe that'll show up more throughout the last three episodes.
Right, because we did have, you know, a hint of Bastion in the first Life Death episode, where when we're in Forge's house and we see the pictures on the wall and we see the picture of him with the scientist or whatever that Mystique had been portraying, Adler, I believe. There was another body there that you couldn't see. It was covered up and it had its arm around Forge, but it had Bastion's
clothing.
So I think this show is insinuating that Bastion has been like working behind the scenes maybe since the beginning.
Yeah,
I don't know. They could establish that, like, yeah, he's been there. He helped get the Sentinel program off the ground.
The original Sentinel
program. Yes, the original program. Like, he's been working even longer. And maybe the show is trying to, in a way, retcon the original series to be like, Bastion was behind a lot of what happened.
I think it is. It's retconning a few different things.
Right.
And that would be, that is a good theory right there. Because that wouldn't surprise me. He's like, no. This is, I've been a part of all of this.
From the beginning, yeah. Which would be an interesting way to take it.
Also, how's Earth going to deal with Charles Xavier coming back? Like, hey, bro.
I don't know.
I think it's part of the plan of being like, Earth already doesn't, like, it's annoying and sad that the humans don't trust them right now.
Right.
When it's like, why are we thinking about us when this entire planet just got destroyed by, like, something else? But I think Charles coming back is also going to further them being like, wait, they were pretending to be dead?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's going to be more mistrust for the humans.
Yeah.
And humans are going to be like,
because it's like, you set up Gyrick.
Yeah.
Because remember, Gyrick was only in prison because he assassinated Charles Xavier.
And he's been not dead.
And he wasn't dead at first. Now.
Now Gyrick and Trask are dead.
Gyrick and Trask are dead. And Bastion has the proof that Xavier is alive.
Yep. And then and Xavier's such an honest person. He's going to come back and be like, I fell in love. And they're going to be like, what?
There was some space bird kitty. Because technically, remember, Lalandra was a hatchling, which means she came from an egg. There was this space bird kitty, and I was just like,
space bird kitty. We will never use that sentence ever again on this show. I'm alive, we will never
raise the jersey.
Use that. Well, yeah, put flag half mast right now. We're done with this. I'm gonna throw myself.
Yeah,
off
I mean, their gambit, no pun intended, of, you know, saying Charles was killed by Gyrick, you know, and that kind of garnered them a lot of sympathy. In a way, and then the Genosha thing happened, and like they do have sympathy on their side again. But yeah, Charles coming back is gonna mess things up.
The mutants aren't gonna trust him, and the humans are definitely not gonna trust them. They're like, wait, so you all knowing and powerful Oz just disappeared for a minute? I would also always think of him as the Wizard of Oz, and I'd be like, wait, you dipped?
Yeah,
like that's crazy. Your people just got murdered, and you dipped? Nah, I'm not trusting you.
Well, you gotta remember he dipped. So I think the only thing. Like, look, I was dying.
Mm-hmm. I was dying.
He was dying.
I was dying.
Okay, because I'm not dead. I was dying.
I get it.
Then the chick that I fell in love with, because I got to know her brains, because that's literally the only reason they fell in love. Like, he fell in love with Lalandra, remember, before sight unseen.
He was having dreams about her.
Which, don't we always have dreams about the, you know, women that we love?
To be fair, he's having dreams about someone in a bug suit.
In a bug suit. Also, yeah, you need to realize you want some Captain Kirk trying to Star Trek. She was in here in a big grasshopper suit. Oh, that's beautiful. She's beautiful. No, she ain't. She's a grasshopper.
He fell in love with her mind. Continue.
Yeah. Thank you. My sister putting me back on track. But he fell in love with her, but then he was dying, so she took him to save him.
Yeah. But we don't know that. Like, the humans don't know that. They don't know the story.
But I'm saying that's what he has to tell them. But then it's like, how do you explain, unless Xavier does the one thing he does not want to do.
Is it go in everyone's mind?
Go in everybody's head. That's the only way.
Well, so in the episode when his brain, when he was doing the classroom thing and it got, what was that? That stunted him. If he goes in through everybody's head and like just shows them what if he gets another stunt?
Talk to him?
Yeah,
that's
talk
a great
to him.
Question because like this show has, you know, almost every episode we get like a weird mind thing, right?
Someone's
having a vision and something like interrupts it. And we've been theorizing that maybe it's the Phoenix Force, right?
I still like
it. Because it was affecting when in episode 5, both Jean and Madeline have that weird like,
the bond with it, yeah.
They have like almost like a psychic gunshot, right? And I think, yeah, the vision that Charles had about Genosha, it could be, you know, in a way like the Force, where like Obi-Wan feels all the people dying, right? There was just so much immense death that radiated from the Earth, it hit him in space.
It's
probably someone giving him the message. It's probably the Phoenix
Force. Can I ask y'all a question and the people in the comment section watching? Why do we always want the Phoenix Force right now?
I love the Phoenix Force.
It's a good, it's a fun thing. And Phoenix Force usually gives you Phoenix Jean Grey, which is always fun.
He's just attracted.
I'm very attracted.
I get that part, but there's so much more in this we could do. I get the like, look, who's pulling Jean and Madeline? Yeah. The Phoenix Force. It's an easy thing to go with. Who's pulling all, you know, who's causing all these psychic interruptions? The Phoenix Force. But also, again, you got these, all these different, you got the Bastion element, you got the Onslaught element, you got the Cassandra Nova element.
Yeah.
Like, granted, now she's in Deadpool and Wolverine, but she still can be present here, so.
I agree. I think it's also that they bring up the Phoenix Force too much in this show to not show it to me. Because if I didn't see.
Showing it in the opening, too.
Yeah, I saw a little bit.
Are, like, unresolved.
Yeah, that too. And I'm like, I've seen a little bit of the original series, but not enough as much as these two have. And I'm like, if you're going to talk about the Phoenix Force as much as you guys have this season, I better see that Phoenix Force show up.
Okay.
That's mainly my whole thing. Because at least with Charles Xavier's twin shadow, Cassandra Nova, I'm like, oh, I only saw what I know of her, know of them in the Deadpool trailer.
Right.
I'm not too, And even with Apocalypse, I'm like, I saw this only in the intro. But I'm like, you guys are bringing up Phoenix Force twice an episode.
Right.
I need to see it.
But how do you think Sinister fits into all this, Jane?
Again, I was just trying to make the perfect
human. Yes.
I just had my normal plan. I was just trying to do this. Now this didn't went to.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
You know? Also, what are you going to say? No to Bastion? Yeah, I would be kill me.
I'm wondering if Bastion gave Sinister the Technorgan virus to give to Nathan. As part of his plan. Because how did Sinister get that virus, right? How is he able to,
because that's way too advanced for him.
That's what I was thinking. And, like, you know, if Sinister's ultimate goal is, like, get rid of the mutants, but get some of their DNA so they can make better humans, and then Bastion comes along and, like, here's this virus. I need you to infect baby Nathan with it. We'll get him to the future. We'll get all that going.
So that means, so Sinister had to create the virus. He had to.
I wonder, but I think Bastion gave it to Sinister.
Because I'm trying to picture the loop that would create.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the virus from that is 30, what is it, $39.99 or something like that?
That's when Cable is.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying, like, a price tag. Continue.
About
how much is the virus?
The virus is about $39.
I was like, I got that.
I got one of those Wish Techno.
Now, what does it do? Kill me? I got it.
Hey, I got that Timu version of it from $22.96.
I got the Shein.
I got a free drone with it.
So it's like, if the virus was created that time to send Cable to the future, but if Bastion has it to come back, it's a weird loop. Like, you get what I'm saying? You see how it sounds saying it? Where does it go?
It makes sense for Bastion just to give him a little piece that doesn't interfere with what he's doing, but keeps him on his team. So it makes sense to be like, here's this. It's not going to interfere with my big plan.
You
can be a freak over there with it. Go be a weirdo and dunk a baby in a van.
Take a little gray skin ass over there.
Yeah, go be a disgusting freak in the shadows.
if you're a Bastion too, it's smart to kind of, like, give stuff to these other villains so that the X-Men are busy with them and Bastion is, you know, doing his own thing.
Also said, Bastion also says, because of that little thing, I got the little, I studied up on them now. I understand who the X-Men are. I know what I'm dealing with.
People think it's a stupid idea, but the best way to make them fight is to have them fight each other and just play in the back the entire time. You get all the time in the world to, like, fulfill your plans when you're like, here's some little shit for you guys to play.
How many other X-Men die before this is all done?
Oof. I don't know, man.
They just killed honestly, in the most respectful way, they killed the best person to kill. And when I say best person to kill, because I'm like, everybody loves, no one hates Gambit.
No one really
when I say
him.
Best, I'm like, no one hates Gambit.
Nah.
That will hurt all of us. Like, if you kill, like, Wolverine, I mean, we're all going to be sad, but we're all going to be like, I mean, he didn't really do anything happy for
us. What about Leech? You're not sad for Leech?
No, I was never sad for Leech.
Died for nothing.
See, I don't like this. Do y'all think, real quick, and I know we got to wrap, do you think all of this is leading just to one big thing, and that one big thing being Sunspot finally being Sunspot?
Mm. Sunspot's gonna get his power.
Sunspot or Sunspot.
He has it. He's just gonna finally.
Or he's gonna show and be it.
Yeah, because you know we're 7 episodes in, and bro's shown as his arm.
I mean, Jubilee didn't get that much action, so maybe this
is
just
you,
like
Jessica. Thank you for
Jubilee got too much action. I think.
How dare you? How dare you?
But maybe that's just what they do for the freshmen. They're like, oh, for the show, you're gonna get your powers at the last episode. You're gonna actually act out the
last episode. Gonna be the dude that saves everything.
I don't think that much.
I think he'll power him up, and he won't be the savior of everything, but he will.
He gets the last part. That would be kind of fun because he was the one that was kidnapped in the very first episode, and to come full circle in the last episode, that would be pretty sick.
Yeah. And then his mom will be like, ah.
The stockholders.
What did I say?
My crypto.
My crypto.
My NFTs.
Is that what they do?
I mean, Roberto da Costa in the comics, too, is very much like this character where he's like very showy. And like the whole thing of like, you know, your story about, you know, your yacht being taken by pirates. That's something that he would say in the comics. Yeah. He's always telling these elaborate lies and stories and stuff like that, which is very fun. But yeah, that's something he could do. In
pirates are real, y'all.
See it? They're real. They're real. Pirates are real.
They are pirates. Have you been pirates on a cruise?
Real. Hey, could you stop bringing that up? Because I will be on one in like 2 months.
You guys are going to get...
You think the pirates want your Carnival cruise line?
Yeah, I don't
want
that. On Carnival. That's
are you on Carnival?
I'm on Norwegian.
Oh, okay. Oh. You think they want your Norwegian cruise line? They want to take something full of cargo.
They're coming straight for Jay, actually.
They don't want people. they can't take a ship of 5,000 people.
Look at me. I am the captain now. That's what he's gonna say as soon as he jumps on the ship.
Absolutely.
He's gonna take Jay away.
They're gonna be like, we're here to take all your ice skating shows.
We gotta wrap this up.
Okay, finally, this episode, we've gotten some of the most grand Marvel references outside of the X-Men we've gotten so far in this show, right? We have an appearance by Thunderbolt Ross, who mentions the Hulk, and then Josh Keaton doing the voice of Captain America? Our spectacular Spider-Man is now Captain America? What's going on? Do you think they're setting a stage for something bigger? Are we going to see even more characters from outside the like X-Men universe come in? Or are they just kind of like paying lip service to the larger world? They're acknowledging that these characters exist.
I think it's a little bit of both. And when I say a little bit of both, I'm like, it's fun to add these characters in, but I also think it's great to remind us like where they stand in the X-Men universe, where it's like, yes, this is just a cop for America. I'm like, Captain America was there just to abide by them, where the X-Men are like, you guys don't even like us. We're just trying to exist.
Right.
So how many more like Marvel live action characters are also aligned more with mutants or aligned more with America?
But also you gotta think, that's a good point, but Cap says one line that we forget about. Yeah, we know Cap is America's top cop, right? Mm-hmm. But Cap says, my team.
He did say my team, which I thought was very interesting.
Who is his team?
In the 90s, too? This is like the 90s. So I'm like, what's your team made of?
What's your team? Are you talking about a team that's the military? Or are you talking about an Avengers
team? He's definitely talking about the Avengers.
I thought you were talking about the military. Because I was like, in the 90s, is he playing by himself? I was like, is he playing by himself? Also, where is he in the video game?
But you get it, see?
Yeah.
Y'all both said it like, yo, you thinking the Avengers, you thinking it's the military.
They looked very open.
It's very, when he was like, my team will handle this. Who's his team?
Well, respectfully, it also depends on which line we're going with and what universe this is and what the hell's happening. Because I'm like, Nick Fury he was with, what's her name at this time, right? 97? He was still with Captain Marvel.
Well, this isn't the MCU.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, we're like, going a
Nick
different
Fury. And I don't know if they ever showed Nick Fury in the original series. I think they did show him once. And he was the more
white
traditional, like, white Nick Fury.
I said,
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Nick Fury.
I said, not my Nick
Yeah, he was that version.
Not my Nick Fury.
I think they did show him in one episode once, if I remember, or reference him. I don't fully. The original series would often do these little cameos for a couple reasons. Mainly they could, because these characters weren't necessarily licensed out or they didn't speak. Like, in an episode of the Phoenix Force, I believe when she first like dissipates from the moon, they have a shot of like Doctor Strange going like, oh, because he like senses all the like cosmic energy, and like they would do stuff like that, and never helped, he was never there. They just show him like in the library like, what's happening?
Deadpool's in an episode of the original series.
Yeah he so like funny. I think Mork just takes his form or whatever,
he's just there,
or he's like, just like standing there. Yeah, like they would always do these little fun things, mainly because they could. And the pop culture universe was different then, right?
Yes.
You know, some of it was to promote other animated shows, but it was just like, you could do that. Now when they do something like that, we're like, okay, so...
I'm eating this.
How does this tie into everything? And I think if we see any other, you know, non-traditional X-Men characters from outside of Marvel, they'll just, again, be a little cameo.
It's going to be Hawkeye.
We're not going to have an episode. Yeah,
and I'll be like, oh, I know who's
side the Avengers.
I like the idea that they're like trying to show us, like, if this was Civil War, which side are these, are the Avengers on again? Like, what side are they on? Are they on the side for the mutants or are they not? Because at the end of the day, it's all politics. It's all money. We saw what they did to our boy Falcon at the fucking...
Because
he's trying to get a loan. He's trying to get a loan. My poor brother couldn't even get a loan.
The man,
and you know,
saved the universe.
You know he's on the side with the mutants. He's like, they didn't like me.
They didn't like me either. Hey, all of a sudden, you got Sam Wilson and one of the mutants like this.
There have been mutants on the Avengers over the years. But traditionally, the Avengers don't have any mutants on the team. So that is an interesting thing to be like, hey, why aren't you guys helping us? And they're like, whoa, we work with S.H.I.E.L.D. and yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s like a government.
They're
going to
give us money.
Messy.
They'll take away our house.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on the
payroll. Hey, brother, I ain't got no rent. I ain't got no mortgage.
You know, that's actually kind of true because poor Sam Wilson's like, I'm struggling. And then it's like, well, you guys got an academy you guys can all live in. And it's a mansion. And
yeah,
you guys are
had
a free
an island. I mean,
y'all live with Wona. I'm out
here trying. Over there.
They need to cut my gas off.
You got Xavier. He's got millions of dollars. Like, what am I supposed to do?
And government grants because he runs a school.
Right, runs
yeah.
A school.
Oh my. He gets the tax breaks.
He gets tax breaks and government grants because
he
runs a school.
He uses his house as a school. He writes it off as a business. Expense.
Someone audit him.
Also, Xavier Bro never wanted to use his mind for stuff. He makes people make a blackbird for him.
Right. Two.
Two of them.
Two. One got destroyed.
Tax dodger
you
number
You know that
one.
Guy every now and then is popping into a stockbroker's head being like, what am I trading this week?
So how do you feel about falafel?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's like, let me check on the mind of the CEO of Pfizer.
I thought you would say Viagra.
Oh, I did say Pfizer.
Yes, it is. They did make Viagra.
Hey, folks, as we do each and every week here on the Break Room After Show, we got to name our student of the week, even though it looks like they're barely going to school anymore in the series. It's a loose device that we're still applying to the show.
There was a school in the last episode.
There was a school.
And out of those students, they were all bad, to be fair, I guess. My
so
student.
Who's your student of the week this
Man,
week? Which student do you feel like really deserves
a title? We all
know
who it is.
I know. They make them very clear each and every week, but let's hear them out. Let's hear it out.
Rogue.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What a week for Rogue. What a week for Rogue.
Leech. I'm sorry. No.
Throwing a man off a building.
Trask.
Rogue. It's Rogue for sure. It's Rogue. Absolutely Rogue.
Yeah, I mean, Rogue really stole it this week. She really is the mutant of the week. Honorable mention to Beast, who saw his girl Trish Tilly coming, and he like closed the curtain a little bit. He's like, they're not going to make a mockery of this.
Nope, you don't get to see
My man just saw Civil War in theaters, and he's like, I don't trust journalists right now. I don't think they're showing the right side of the story.
And out here, none but some draws. Yeah. Like
he's like, they just want bleeding mutants for the 6 p.m. news. Yep. I'm not going to have it. And he turned her down. She tried to give him a touch. He's like, get the fuck out of here, you human piece of shit.
You hussy.
He said, bitch, not here.
Not here. Not in front of my mutant friends. Not on my mutant island. How dare you touch my hurt?
Girl,
that's
the friend. Daytime. You are my nighttime booty, girl. Get your shit.
I told you not to text me when I'm working.
Beast, he would be lucky too. Yeah. He would be lucky to talk like that with his stupid ass. Keep going, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the only person that doesn't like Beast.
He's quoting Mr. Rogers, he's quoting Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King and Mr. Rogers in the same goddamn episode. Who? I mean, hey,
well,
they both did do a lot.
She was like,
arguably, each individually have did a lot for people.
They
you
did.
Know,
they
I'm
did.
Just saying.
They did.
And when he did the Mr. Rogers quote, I said, is that Mr.? And he said, the formidable Mr. Rogers. I said, stop him.
Was he
stop
saying
him.
Mr. Rogers was a mutant?
Oh, he's saying Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King was a mutant?
I don't know. Well, wasn't it Trish that was, she was the one that was like, Martin Luther King. To show that she's like, I know who said that.
Yeah, but technically every white person knows a Dr. King quote.
It's
anyway.
True. It's true.
also, look at Martin Luther King's birthday. You're like, oh, y'all know these quotes?
I would give an honorable mention as well. I'm pointing out Jean Grey. I mean, she really stood her ground this episode. You know, she's getting over it. She's wearing her hair down. Now that Madeline's dead, she's like, oh, I can wear my hair down. This is what Scotty likes.
I ain't got to wear this ponytail.
This is what Scotty likes.
I hate you so much.
She's also, you know, I think she's trying to stand by her man a little bit. In so much that she's giving him his space. Because there is that moment when he was like, oh, there's a telepath alive. You know,
he was thinking it was
Madeline. She knows that he was thinking it was Madeline. It's Emma Frost, which Scott, hang in there because you'll have your time with Emma Frost.
Here's my question: why, bro? You got the look. I know a lot of people are like, man, what about twins? Because if you get twins, it's basically
no. I don't. No.
But you got your girl. No, you got your. I know it's like that's your baby mama. I get it. But like, you can still make her your baby mama, which you will.
It's not the same.
It's not the same because I think they're implying that Cyclops is. Relationship was maybe stronger with Madeline than it was with Jean.
Oh, it absolutely is.
You know, and like he got closer with her than he did with
Jean. You can't divorce that woman with an angry, hot bird in her system to come out.
The Phoenix. Yeah. Sorry, you got me.
We have to be careful.
I'm always nervous when you say bird
like that,
now.
I keep saying bird. Yeah.
Bird or kitty? Yeah. I don't know. Talk about the animal or a body part.
Look at the jersey. It's retired. We were tired that phrase. Okay, folks. Anyone else got anything to cover for this episode?
No, it was a good episode. Can't wait for the next three.
Yeah, this next three, they're probably going to be heavy, heavy
all
stuff.
All the way through.
All the way down. I can't wait till Storm comes back, though. That's what I'm most excited for.
Yeah, me too.
I was sad when she wasn't in the intro cards this week. Do you think when they do the next Storm intro card, she'll be in her new outfit?
She's got to be. Right. No, no, you can put it back in a regular one.
No, she's gonna wear her new one. I don't think she wears the whites ever again.
I don't think, no, she'll never. She's not wearing the white anymore.
I think her new intro card will be her
in the black.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. They're right. Changing it all the time. They'll do that.
Okay.
They'll definitely do that.
You know, there's gonna be people complaining. They're changing the title card again. They didn't think that.
Good. Let them complain. Let them complain. That's it for us today. Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel right here on YouTube. And give us a follow on Twitch where we do these videos live and you can send in chats and watch us make tons of mistakes. Jay, where can they find you on social media?
I am at Mr. Jay Washington, M-R-J-A-Y. You should know how to spell Washington on Instagram and TikTok. May 11th, Santa Monica, Westside Comedy Theater.
Whoa.
My hour for Netflix is a joke.
Whoa!
Come out for that. So please do, get your tickets. I got all the links on my Instagram, so that's why I have you follow me. Thank you.
Follow him. Follow Mr. J. Washington.
It'd be like 60,000 of y'all reading these, looking at these videos. Y'all could just hit the follow button. That's all I'm begging you. I need the numbers in baby tiny Charles Xavier Jesus' name. Please.
60,000 views from your lips to the algorithm's ears, Jay. I'll take that 60K. We pulling 60K?
My video hit 61K on. I was like,
heck yeah, heck yeah. And more. Hey, you can also follow us at BreakroomNR on Instagram, Twitter, X, and Threads. Evan's keeping us alive on Threads.
Bye.
Follow us on TikTok while you still can, folks. We'll see you next time. Latest KS. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.